366.
Authorize a contract with the lowest responsive bidder for construction of the Hollywood Grant Park Sewer Rehabilitation Project, number E-10384, for $9 million.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Portland has about 2,500 miles of sewer pipes, and over one-third of them are more than 80 years old. So projects to replace or repair aging sewers are important for protecting water quality, public health, and the environment. The Bureau of Environmental Services is in the middle of a large-scale sewer repair program to repair more than 34 miles of sewers all around Portland by 2017. The Hollywood Grant Park Sewer Repair Project will repair or replace 36,000 feet of aging sewer pipes, and I'm pleased to introduce our team, and I'll first kick it over to Scott Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Mayor, Novick. My name is Scott Gibson. I'm a principal engineer at the Bureau of Environmental Services, and today I'm here with Jill Hutchinson. She's the project manager for this effort. She's a senior engineer associate at our bureau. We're here asking for authorization to approve, to advertise and award a contract in the range of $9 million for the Hollywood Grant Park Sewer Rehabilitation Project. As the commissioner said, it's part of a large effort we have throughout the city, and Jill will get into some of the details. We're here to ask questions or answer questions.
Good morning. I'm Jill Hutchinson. As Scott mentioned, this project is part of BES's Phase II sewer rehabilitation, and so on this map, you'll see our project areas outlined in purple with the Hollywood Grant Park project filled in green. The project is bounded, it's in northeast Portland, and it's bounded between 33rd and 57th Avenues from Fremont south to Interstate 84. The intent of the project is to replace or rehabilitate highly deteriorated pipes, and as you can see, pipes in this area have large holes, missing pieces, broken pipe, and vermin creating nests in and around the pipes. By replacing or rehabilitating mains, service laterals, and manholes, this project will protect public health, property, and the environment, increase sewer system capacity and reliability, and reduce the risk of sewage releases to homes, businesses, and the streets.
By the way, I just have to interject. I know my colleagues generally don't like Washington monuments. They also don't like alarmist presentations, but I just want to certify, these are actual photographs.
These are photographs.
And it seems like every time we come before you, there's one with a friendly four-legged creature, but these are actually
I recognize that guy. I've seen him.
These are not staged. These are the actual photographs.
These are real. They're from the project. So in order to determine which pipes should be included in the project, we conducted the robotic inspections that you saw in the previous slides of all of the sewers in the neighborhood, and then we coded the defects and used this information to calculate the likelihood of failure of each pipe. We then ran an algorithm to determine the consequences if a pipe should fail based on social, environmental, and constructability factors such as proximity to schools, hospitals, in major streets, and near other significant utilities. The total risk for a particular pipe was calculated by multiplying the consequence of failure with the likelihood of failure. We then performed an alternatives analysis to determine if we should invest in replacing the pipe now or wait to fix it in the future. And the outcome of this analysis is the assignment of a net benefit cost score for each individual pipe, and those pipes with an NBCR greater than zero were included in the project. So this is a close-up map of the project site, project area, with proposed construction methods, including open trenching, pipe bursting, and cured-in-place pipe, which is a trenchless technology that minimizes impacts to nearby residents. The project scope includes 142 pipes, or almost 7 miles of pipes, ranging from 6 inches to 36 inches in diameter. 75% of the pipes are more than 100 years old. 3/4 are in residential streets, and 1/4 are in major streets. The work will occur near 5 schools, and the contract requires work in these areas to be done when school is not in session to minimize the impacts to the school areas. There are 13 sites where work will be conducted at night with noise variances, and 9 of those are because of the for cured-in-place lining, which is the non-invasive trenchless technique. So that usually takes between 1 and 4 days. And there are 4 sites where there's open trench work in busy streets. So the public outreach for this project was extensive. Our public involvement staff at BES communicated both general project information and specific information about the night work to residents, businesses, neighborhood associations, business associations, schools, TriMet, and Providence facilities. So this is a flyer of or a map that was included in one of the public involvement flyers that was sent to all area residents and businesses. And we also had a public meeting that was held on March 10th to address any questions and concerns from the neighborhood. One of the unique features of the Hollywood Grant Park project is that it will use vitrified clay pipe instead of PVC, which is BES's standard material for small diameter applications. The use of VCP is part of a 4-project pilot effort, which is a continuation of prior efforts and is the next step in our evaluation of appropriate pipe materials. At this point, we have not made a wholesale change in the materials we use. This is just a pilot. The pilot effort is being made in the light of the city's various sustainability policies, most notably the toxics reduction strategy and the healthy purchasing initiative. The toxics reduction strategy was adopted in 2006 with the support of Commissioner Saltzman, and it calls on city bureaus to seek products that do not contain, release, or produce polyvinyl chloride or PVC. It also identifies vinyl chloride, the core monomer input for PVC, as a priority chemical of concern. And finally, it calls for the use of third-party certified materials where appropriate, and clay pipe has been rated by the Sustainable Material Rating Technology, or SMART, a third-party certifier at the gold level.
And by the way, this slide is the one that really got my attention in the briefing, because it sort of feels like back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
We've so taken for granted using PVC plastics, and we think about some of the benefits, but it actually is a toxin, and we want to avoid using it. We're calling it a pilot, though, because there's some things we have to work out, and we have to make some sober assessment about cost and other factors. And then one of the things that the team shared with me is, you know, you've got these competing values that we're trying to bring to bear. But what if it turns out you have to ship this product from a long way away? Does that undercut some of the environmental benefits of not having it, say, you know, manufactured or accessible locally? So we're going to do this as a pilot and ask some tough questions, and then come back and share those results with the council.
Yes, thank you. Just returning to the Healthy Purchasing Initiative, this is another of Commissioner Saltzman's initiatives that was passed in 2012, and it includes identifying products that are safer and less hazardous by requesting complete disclosure of a product's chemical ingredients and the human health or environmental hazards associated with those chemicals. And clay pipe manufacturers maintain current publicly available health product declaration forms, which are material disclosure forms on their products or their website. So, wrapping things up, summary of the budget and schedule. The engineer's estimate is $9 million with a high level of confidence, and we expect the contract duration to be 18 months, advertising in early May now, and notice to proceed in September.
We're going to, Steve, we're going to kick this thing off with a coffee, open house coffee that you'll be invited to in the neighborhood, just so, you know, before we actually start the work, people have a chance to come in and get additional information. We'll be doing that also in Hawthorne. We've spent a lot of outreach, but there'll still be people who show up and say, first I heard of it. So we want to be able to make sure that they get another bite at the apple. One question I want to ask Jill, this is an incredibly complicated project with all these moving pieces and things. And how many of these kinds of things have you quarterbacked?
How many projects like this?
Yeah, like this, of this scale, because this looks quite complicated.
I've been with the Bureau in the large scale, or the phase two sewer rehab program for going on 5 years. So I think I've been involved in probably 9 projects.
Wow.
In the range of $3 to $10 million.
Very good.
A little bit more about Jill. We at a time in the bureaus, we had a rotational program where the engineers, when they first started out, worked at PBOT and Water and BES, and we used it as a recruiting tool. And Jill was one of the first participants in that. So
that's great.
She's been with us since and has experience at the other two bureaus as well.
That helps. Yeah, it helps
and
a lot.
I certainly hope that no one at PBOT is trying to recruit you away, Jill. Or at least you give us you would give us fair notice if something some kind of bad behavior like that occurred on my watch.
Mm-hmm. Where's the clay pipe made?
It's made in California.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, not that far away.
There are two clay pipe manufacturers in California, Gladding McBean, which is in sort of north of Sacramento, mm-hmm. and Mission Clay is in the L.A. area.
Just one question about that, because when we had our discussion, the thing that struck me was a plastic pipe just intuitively seems more flexible, and since it's going in an area where there's vibrations and things, maybe less likely to have a break or something than a clay. Is that true, or is the way the clay pipe manufactured make it just as resilient?
Well, for resiliency, we can look at the soil properties where it's going to be installed, and we can look at permanent ground deflections and other movements that we might see. Those aren't an issue in this area, so we're not expecting the clay to have to move, or the pipe material, no matter what the material, to have to move. It's a matter of good bedding. Now, with PVC, it's longer lengths. So fewer joints. Clay has shorter links, and it can move through the joints. So there's allowable deflections in the joints.
During the design phase, we also did a review of the soils in the area and the potential for liquefaction and other things that would happen during an earthquake or another natural disaster, and we aren't at risk of those types of things in this area.
Good. Other questions? Great. Thank you very much. Good project. Let's take a roll call vote on
First reading.
I think
it's only first reading, so that will be
nice job.
Back on second reading next week.